Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. On this week's program, I'd like to address again the public and political reaction to the COVID-19 virus, because there are some very bizarre things going on. Not the least of which is the masking of kindergartners and vaccines for children 12 and older, when the science doesn't bear out the need for any of those measures. As I read recently, children wearing masks all day stand more of a chance of catching bacterial pneumonia and carbon monoxide poisoning than the COVID-19 flu. But let me start with the text of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 10. You felt secure in your wickedness and said, "No one sees me." Your wisdom and your knowledge have deluded you, for you have said in your heart, "I am God, and there is no one beside me." In the historic context, this is an oracle against the nation of Babylon. And the question is, what is the wisdom and knowledge that has deluded the people? Well, in the previous verse we read, "But these two things will come upon you suddenly in one day, loss of children and widowhood. They will come on you in full measure in spite of your many sorceries, in spite of the great power of your spells." Ancient Babylon was known for its libraries and scholarship, the magi, the political military think tanks. And the sorceries and the spells are not only a reference to the occult and astrology, but to their discoveries in science and medicine. The point is, they thought that they were so intelligent and advanced, but they didn't know what they thought they knew. And so that text has a timeless application. It's the nature of people with PhDs to think that they know so much more than they really know, when in reality, given the nature of the universe, they're but children, intellectual novices. In the grand scheme of things, we're not much more advanced than these primitive Babylonians. In the words of George Orwell, "There are some ideas so absurd that only an intellectual could believe them." You know, there Orwell was expressing what most people have come to know. There's something about higher education that makes people very stupid in some very practical matters. Academic education can feed the pride of man, and then he overestimates his ability, and hence he's destroyed by his own intellect and theories. And as a basic principle of mankind, we have Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools. Or 1 Corinthians 1:20, where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And Paul wrote that to believers in Greece who are impressed with all of the Greek wisdom, which for the most part was a lot of hot air. And note that Isaiah chapter 47 is an oracle against Babylon. And we know that biblically, Babylon is a type of the unsaved world and a type of the final coming kingdom of the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 18, fallen is Babylon the Great. Modern man in the 21st century thinks he knows way more than what he really knows. In political science, in the social sciences, in psychology, most of what is professed to be the answer to human problems is nothing more than a bunch of nonsense built upon a wrong understanding of human nature. Look at all the drugs that they're using to fix psychological problems. Look at all of the panic over global warming, which is an unproven hypothesis that has continued to fail to result in the disasters that were predicted. 10 years ago, global warming advocates were saying we have only 10 years left. It is a secular apocalyptic religion that's blinding them from the true science. And when it comes to psychiatry, it's their belief that man is nothing more than material chemistry. Therefore, they see our problems as merely chemical and not spiritual. So these scientific fields are more influenced by worldview ideology than actual science. Man gets a little understanding of the universe. They discover the code of DNA, and they think they're gods. As we read in that text in Isaiah 47, you say in your heart, I am, and there's no other. And there we see the scientific world's view of materialism and secular atheism. So now let's talk about the social reaction to COVID-19, its ideological underpinning. Do you know what's being injected into your body in these vaccines? Most people have no clue. They just hear that the government and the medical industry is asking them to get these vaccines to stay well, and they automatically assume it's good. The one argument I hear the most from these vaxxers is that they can't be bad for us if the CDC and the FDA and all the pharmaceutical companies are approving them. And of course, that should make us laugh, because did you ever hear of the logical fallacy of bandwagoning? The fallacy of proving the legitimacy of something because the majority legitimizes it. You know, this is an aside, but two groups have emerged in this vaccine issue. One part of the population trusts the government and the intellectuals. The other part of the population has what seems to be a natural aversion to trusting government and these intellectuals. It's really quite fascinating. Why is this? One group trusts the scientists, the other group immediately doubts the scientists. Now, you've probably read articles that the African American community is half as vaccinated as European Americans. Well, everyone likes to call them the black and the whites, but I hate using that racist title. So why don't African Americans trust the vaccine? Why is BLM protesting vaccine mandates? Cultural experiences, cultural background, levels of education. Actually, it really can't be an education thing, because some of the biggest opponents of vaccines are medical doctors. These professionals know how stupid their colleagues can be. You know, I know that more than half of those who profess to be clergy have no idea what they're talking about. And I'm sure it's true in the medical profession. Groupthink can often be wrong. So my guess is the difference between these two groups, those who trust the intellectuals and those who don't, has to do with an ideological worldview. What you believe about the bigger issues of God and man. And that is the point I want to try to make in today's program. The vaccine controversy, for or against, is more about ideology and faith than hard scientific facts. Because in this case, as in so many other cases, we don't have the hard scientific facts. People are doing guesswork. They're operating on presuppositions. They don't know the future. They're just hoping that there will or will not be adverse results from these vaccines. And so they're making decisions based upon faith. People are making COVID policies not on the basis of science, but upon ethics, such as the greatest good for the greatest number of people, and that is metaphysical. The CDC records as a fact that 8,000 people have died from the vaccines, and at least 150,000 people have had serious adverse reactions. Inflammation of the heart is one of the major side effects. These are facts from the CDC, but my YouTube this week will probably be taken down for giving the facts. But the CDC and these policymakers are making a value judgment. It's okay for at least 8,000 people to die because it's assumed that the vaccine is keeping many more people from dying of COVID. These 8,000 people are sacrificial lambs. And that's really what's going on here. But nobody in the government pushing these vaccines is talking about this, because they know if they admit the ethical decision being made here, people will start questioning the ethics of the greatest good for the greatest number of people. So instead, they want it to appear as if they're just following the science. But they're not following the science. They are following a moral worldview. Back in 1905, a vaccine case made it to the Supreme Court, Jacobson versus Massachusetts. The Cambridge, Massachusetts Board of Health was requiring vaccinations against smallpox during a smallpox epidemic. You either took the vaccine or you were fined $5. Henning Jackson refused the vaccine, claiming that he and his son had a bad reaction to earlier vaccines. He paid the fine and then took the case to court. The Massachusetts Supreme Court determined that it was unnecessary to debate whether the vaccines were harmful because there was a way out. You could pay the $5 and you weren't being forced to take the vaccine. The worst thing that could happen to you is you were out $5. And the court didn't think that was a big deal. Now, when the case made it to the U.S. Supreme Court, the courts really didn't deal with the merit of the case. They just ruled that this was a states' right issue, and it was for the state of Massachusetts and the people to figure out. And so the Supreme Court ruled against Jacobson, setting a small precedent that the government has a right to require vaccines. But notice in all this, the issue wasn't really about the efficacy of the science or the vaccines, but the ethics of the trade-off. The precedent that came out of that case and other similar court cases is that anti-vaxxers have to show that there is either harm in the vaccine or there is no serious threat of disease. But even then, the ruling is based on ethics, not science. Oliver Wendell Holmes, the notorious leftist Supreme Court justice, took the Jacobson case and made it an argument for eugenics. If the state could mandate vaccines for the good of the public, then he found in that a right of the state to involuntarily sterilize certain people so they would not have children. Holmes wrote, "Society can prevent those who are manifestly unfit from continuing their kind. The principle that sustains compulsory vaccination is broad enough to cover cutting the fallopian tubes." And then he cites Jacobson versus Massachusetts. And then he writes, "Three generations of imbeciles are enough." Unquote, Oliver Wendell Holmes. So do you see how this is all about one's morals and ethics, not the science? So the CDC has decided to approve booster shots. And before these rulings, the CDC always consults a medical advisory panel. And the medical advisory panel voted 16-2 against approving the COVID booster shots. But the director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, overruled the panel and approved booster shots for COVID-19. And two of the members of the panel resigned in protest. So did Walensky give a medical reason for her overruling? No. This was her statement. "In a pandemic, even with uncertainty, we must take actions that we anticipate will do the greatest good." So that's not a matter of science. That's a matter of ethics and faith, what she anticipates will do the greatest good. Again, the point is, these decisions are being made on a spiritual level because people are spiritual beings. So back to my original point. Do you know what is in these vaccines? Most people are clueless. It took me over a year to get it all figured out. I don't know why. Maybe I just wasn't that interested in the subject or the articles were too vague. But I finally understood it. And if it took me this long, I certainly can have patience with anyone who still doesn't get it. But here's the bottom line. You're being injected with genetic code so that your cells themselves make the spike protein part of the COVID-19 virus. Not the whole virus, just the outer shell of the virus that allows the virus to invade cells. Now, once your body makes the spike protein, your immune system sees that protein and says, that doesn't belong, and it attacks it. Thereby, your body creates antibodies that will be useful in attacking the real virus if it ever arrives in your body. The genetic code injected into your body is messenger RNA, messenger ribonucleic acid. Now, if you remember your high school biology survey class, messenger RNA comes out of your cell's DNA in the nucleus, and it's transported to the ribosomes, and it tells the ribosomes to fabricate proteins. Now, the problem with this process was getting the messenger RNA into the human cell. Until scientists attached a lipid nanoparticle to the RNA code so that it can penetrate the wall of the human cell, getting those instructions into the cell for the ribosomes to pick up and to start manufacturing these antigens. Now, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine works a little bit different than the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine. They use another virus encoded with the messenger RNA to get into the cell. Now, my reaction when I first read this was, why have our cells produce the COVID-19 spike protein? That just sounds strange, putting genetic information into our bodies to create part of a virus. Why not just inject into people the spike protein? Well, apparently it's more difficult and time-consuming to make the spike protein in a lab. This is why it takes years to bring a vaccine to market. It's apparently simpler to just fabricate the messenger RNA. And our cells seem to do a better job in fabricating the antigen. Now, there are two companies that are about to bring to the market a vaccine that injects the antigen, the spike protein, and it doesn't mess with our body's genetic code. Novavax and BioVax. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the FDA and the CDC reacts to these vaccines. These vaccines would be considered the traditional way vaccines work, injecting the foreign antigen and just letting our immune system, you know, learn from that. The attraction of the messenger RNA vaccine is that this is new cutting-edge technology that's taken the medical world by a storm. Just like we've genetically modified wheat and vegetables, the hope is that we can genetically modify the human body to fight disease and cancer. So the medical establishment is all sold on seeing this new technology work. And this is the first time messenger RNA has been approved by the FDA. So in a sense, this COVID outbreak is a stroke of great fortune for those working on this new technology. And, you know, of course, this is a great windfall in profits for the pharmaceutical companies. This is why the ineffectiveness of these vaccines is bad news for these pharmaceutical companies. There was recently a COVID outbreak at Duke University. Of the 365 COVID cases, 357 students were fully vaccinated, 97.8%. Now, there are many scientists who are warning that this new mRNA technology is dangerous territory, because you're asking the human body to manufacture that which the human body was never made to manufacture. You're messing with the genetic code of the human body. I am not a medical expert. I am not a doctor nor a son of a doctor. But my gut feeling is that science should slow down on this. What do you think? I mean, does this sound like a smart idea? Or the setup for a sci-fi horror movie? Like Will Smith in I Am Legend, where they create a vaccine to eradicate cancer, everyone gets the vaccine, and turns into zombies. Well, you know, this vaccine probably won't be that bad. But at the very least, let's keep telling the public that this is experimental, and for God's sake, don't mandate it. But what are we getting instead? FDA full approval and mandates, even in the face of serious adverse reactions. First, the spike protein created by the body is not staying localized, but moving into areas such as the heart and the brain. And the spike protein, of all the proteins in this virus that they want to replicate, is itself a toxin. In a study out of the University of Canada, one out of every 1,000 individuals who get the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine get heart inflammation. Second, messenger RNA doesn't disappear as much as scientists think. It can actually work its way back into a person's DNA. Here's a study from an MIT professor. Vaccines might permanently alter DNA after all. Quote, I laid out several molecular pathways that would potentially enable RNA in an mRNA vaccine to be copied and permanently integrated into our DNA. I was absolutely not surprised to find that the majority of people claimed that this prospect was impossible. In fact, I expected this response, partly because most people don't possess a deep enough understanding of molecular biology, and partially because of other implicit biases. After all, we're being told in no uncertain terms that it would be impossible for the mRNA in the vaccine to become integrated into our DNA simply because RNA doesn't work that way. Well, this current research, which was released not too long after my original article, demonstrated that yes, indeed, RNA does work that way. In my original article, I spelled out this exact molecular pathway. Remember when the human genome was first recorded? Scientists were talking about junk DNA, where only 1% of DNA is protein coding genes. The other 99% is non-coding, and scientists assumed it was junk, that it had no purpose, it was left over from evolution. But they have come to since find out that there's no such thing as junk DNA. All DNA is used in the function of the cell. So the point is that scientists have no idea what they're tampering with when they mess with the human genome. We're not that smart. We're not ready to play God. Here's an announcement from the World Health Organization, who issued two new recommendations on human genome editing for the advancement of public health. Two companion reports released today by the World Health Organization provided the first global recommendations to help establish human genome editing as a tool for public health. So that's where the world is going. So back to my thesis. This is not being moved along by pure science, but by ideology and a faith in human advancement. Science is the savior. 22 nations in this world have bioweapon labs that are working on modifying the genetic code of viruses to make them more lethal. And they're doing it because they can do it. And in the book of the Revelation, we read that a fourth of the world's population is killed by sword, famine, and pestilence, which is a reference to pathogens. And on that note, I'm going to end. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. For the extended version of this program, you'll have to go to my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. This is YouTube number 185. And I'm certain that YouTube will take down this video like they took down my last video about COVID-19. So you'll probably have to watch the video version of this program on rumble.com. Thank you for listening today. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us understand the ideology and the false faith that's driving the policies of this world. Help us to be led instead by the truth, by Jesus Christ, the truth incarnate, in whose name we pray. Amen.